I appreciate that offertory song, Take It to the Lord in Prayer, because our message this morning is the concluding message on Lord, Teach Us to Pray. We have been in this a number of weeks. The Lord has introduced himself to us. The disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And so he gave them the Lord's Prayer. He gave them as a pattern that they should pray, not as the something they should memorize and say over and over, although it's good to do that. Our personal prayer life should be patterned after the Lord's Prayer. And so we have outlined six principles, six patterns of the Lord's Prayer. First of all, Jesus said, be still, go into your closet and close the door. This is about personal prayer, your relationship with God. Secondly, we come before him with thanksgiving. And so we give him thanks for all the goodness that he has given to us. And then the third is we come into his presence with worship. We adore him. We exalt him. We praise his name together. And then as we pass from that first part, which is a focus on God, we come into the second part of the prayer, which is about us. And so the first part about us is confessing our sins. We confess our sins and ask the Lord to forgive us. That's important. Scripture says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So we get that out of the way. And then last week we saw we need to clothe ourselves. We've often forgotten that we need to put on the whole armor of God. And Jesus included this in the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from the evil one. And this morning we have the sixth of those, and that is to cast our care upon him. That we should come to the Lord and cast our burdens on the Lord, and he will sustain us. Most of us love to make our prayer life that one step. We only go to God when we have a need and a burden, and so that's all it entails. And God has given us much more than that in his word. I'm reading from a couple passages this morning. First of all, Jesus said in Matthew 6:11 in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. I think it's interesting that Jesus didn't include all the needs that we have and everything that we want and all the things that are on our minds. He made it very basic. Bread. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And then Matthew 6:25-34. I think it's important that we read this. It's part of that same passage. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food? And we pause there on the morning of Thanksgiving dinner. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add one single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? That was for women. Why do you worry about clothes? See the flowers of the field and how they grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon in all his splendor was not dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? For your Father knows you have need of these things. The pagans run after all these things, but your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And finally, the last passage is from 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon him, because he cares for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we open the word this morning, we ask that you would teach us, just like the disciples that sat at your feet and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Would you instruct us? Would you show us how to pray? Would you give us the inspiration that we need to pray and the promises that our prayers are not in vain? Would you teach us to pray in faith? Would you teach us to pray faithfully and never give up? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus was addressing problems in prayer, and that's why he gave the Lord's Prayer. Each one of them addresses some problem in our prayer lives, whether it's selfishness or just neglect. And God wants us to be attentive to the fact that we ought to pray, and we ought to always pray. Wherever we are and what we're doing, we pray. Unfortunately, in our church today, not our church, but the church worldwide, most of us are crisis prayers. We pray when there's a crisis. We pray when there's a situation that we can't tolerate or a situation that's beyond us, and then we call on the Lord to pray. God has ordained that we should be praying about everything, not just about the crises. I remember in a church I was pastoring, we had a prayer meeting on Wednesday night, and we'd get maybe five or six people out to prayer meeting on Wednesday night until one of the ladies of our congregation, a young lady, got cancer and had a very bleak diagnosis. And suddenly our prayer meeting went to 25 people, and they were out there for several weeks praying for this young lady to be healed. And she was not healed. She did pass away. And after that, we went back to five or six people at prayer meeting. It's indicative of our crisis praying. We pray when we need something great from God. And yet Jesus is teaching us, and he's bringing us into the boot camp of prayer, that prayer that really is effective begins long before the crisis. It builds a relationship with God so that when there's a crisis, there's nothing to hinder you in your prayer life. Research has been done on how much people pray, how many moments or minutes a day a pastor prays, and they found that the average pastor, drum roll please, the average pastor spends 10 minutes a day in personal prayer. I should go on and say the average pastor probably spends 4 hours in study, many more hours doing administration. But the least of our tasks is prayer. And we as God's people are to be praying people. Jesus said, I have made you a kingdom of priests. You are given the authority to go before the throne of God and intercede on behalf of others and your own needs. And so God has provided for you this wonderful vehicle of prayer that God hears and answers prayer. I want to talk about two different aspects of prayer this morning. First, your approach to the throne of grace, approaching God's throne. And secondly, appealing to God's throne. First, approaching God's throne. There is a way in which we should approach God. I've already said there are three pathways in this pattern of prayer. There is being still, being thankful, and being worshipful, confessing your sins, and all the rest. But our approach to God needs to be sincere. That is, when we're approaching God, we need to be honest with God. David in the Psalms was very honest with God about everything. If you read through the Psalms, you take the time to do that, you'll find that most of the Psalms are Psalms of lament. David is crying about something. He was boo-hooing. He was telling God everything that was wrong. If you turn to Lamentations chapter 3, that great Jeremiah has gone through a lot. But as he prays in chapter 3, most of the chapter is about his complaint. God, where are you? How come you're not answering? Why don't you do what you said you're going to do? And on it goes until he comes to those last verses in 22 and 23. And he says, but I will not forget your faithfulness. And he talks about God being faithful, despite of the fact that sometimes our answers don't come. So our first step in approaching God is to be honest, to be transparent. When we come before the Lord, he already knows what's on your heart. He already knows what's going on in your life. You're not telling God he doesn't know something he doesn't know. He knows it. And so he has invited us to come, and the Old Testament says, roll your burden on the Lord. The picture is somebody with a great big sack of burdens on their shoulders, and they're coming to the Lord, and it's so heavy they just roll that burden on the Lord and dump it at his feet. That's exactly what God wants us to picture, that we're taking our concerns, we're taking our worries, we're taking our fears, we're taking all of our prayer requests, and we're laying them at his feet. We let it go and lay it at his feet. This is called a catharsis. We just let go. We tell it like it is. And God doesn't beat us up because of it. He says, thank you. I knew it already. You needed to tell me what your need was. So approaching the throne with honesty. Secondly, approach the throne of God being specific. Oh God, would you bless me? Is that specific? Not really. There's a wonderful story in the New Testament about a blind man that was sitting by the roadside. And he heard that others said that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And so he started to cry out. He said, oh, son of David, oh, son of David, help me. Son of David, help me. And he got so annoying that the disciples said, quiet him down. But Jesus heard him and came up to the man. The man was blind. He was blind from birth. And Jesus stood before him and said, what do you want me to do? Sometimes we're like that. We're calling on the Lord, but the Lord is saying, what do you want me to do? What are you asking me to do? Can you be specific? And this blind man just blurted out, Lord, that I can have my sight. It's kind of a dumb question, right? What can I do for you? The guy's blind. He's begging on the street. But the guy could have said, Lord, would you give me 25 cents for a cup of coffee? Or if he was in America, could you give me $12 for a cup of coffee at Starbucks? He could have asked for something that really wasn't related to what his burden was. But he was being very specific, and Jesus invited him. What do you want me to do? He said that I can receive my sight. I found in my prayer life that when I begin to pray things to the Lord and asking God, he often whispers to my heart, what do you want me to do? Spell it out for me. And I think it's a good thing to keep a journal. I keep a journal. I've done it for many years. Many people have a hard time with that. But I do it every morning. And I write down my burdens and my cares. And the Lord says, what do you want me to do? Stop beating around the bush and tell me exactly what's in your heart. What do you want me to do? And then I write it down. Lord, this is what I need. This is what I'm praying for. Okay, then that's it. Lay it down at his feet and then be done with it. For the Lord has said that we should do those kinds of things. He said the Lord will reward those who ask, who knock, and who continue to seek him. So once we make that specific request known to God, we can rest in it, but we keep asking for it. We keep reminding God, that's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I want. And then the third thing of approaching the throne of grace is that we come boldly before God. I want you to look at me for a moment. This is boldness. Here's unboldness. And most of us are kind of like that when we go to God in prayer. We're beggars. We just, Lord, I got a problem and I want you to take care of it. We are beggars and not believers. Let that sink in. We are beggars but not believers. God has called us believers for a reason. We have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. We trust him completely, and his promises are true. Therefore, when we come to God, we ought to come to him with boldness. Boldness doesn't mean brashness. Boldness means we come with confidence and absolute certainty. When I ask God for something, God's going to do it. Now, most of us don't have that attitude. Let me give you an illustration. In another church where I pastored, we trained our elders to pray with people at the altar about all their needs. And so we invited people to come week after week and let the elders pray over you, sometimes anointing you for healing, and we taught them to do that. And so we were doing that. We'd have the altar lined in every service. And one morning I was praying with people, and I overheard one of my elders next to me praying with somebody who just prayed for healing. And then he turns to them after he's prayed, and he said, and I just want you to know that God may not answer your prayer. Man, that set me off. Where do you find that in Scripture? Where do you find Jesus saying, my friends, God may not answer your prayers? He doesn't say that. He says the exact opposite. He says that when we pray, he will answer. When we call upon him, he is listening. When our hearts are breaking, his heart is broken as well. I should pray for that fly. It just keeps flying around me. And so I went to that elder privately and I said, brother, I want to rebuke you sharply because of this, and I want you to change the way you pray. And then we sat with all the elders and I said, this is the way we pray. We do not tell people that God may not answer their prayer. That is not in Scripture, and it doesn't build faith. It builds doubt. And so what we do is we stand on the Word of God and we quote to them Ephesians 3:20. Now, unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than you ask or even imagine, unto him be glory in the church throughout all ages. And so when we pray for them, instead of finishing it off saying, God may not answer your prayer, you give them assurance that God's going to answer their prayer. And some of my elders said, but maybe he won't. See, that's doubt. Doubt steps in and ruins everything. We're not to feed people with doubt. We're to feed them with the Word of God and the promises of God. And so I said, this is the way we're going to pray. We're going to pray Ephesians 3:20. And the answer to that, the specific application of that is, when you pray, where you're right with God, you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, when you pray, God says He's going to answer you. He's either going to give you what you asked for or something better. He is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or even imagine. And so we began to pray that way, and something wonderful happened. In these prayer gatherings at the end of the service, we had so many people coming for prayer requests. Now we have the people coming telling us what God did. Impossible situations, miraculous things were happening. Why? Because people were believing God. And one of the things I did as I prayed with people, I said, now that we prayed, you've told God exactly what you want Him to do, what you need Him to do. Now I want you to go home and search for a promise in the Word of God. And then pray that promise. Don't just sit there and look at the promise. Pray that promise and claim it before the throne of God. And I said, if you can't find a promise, call me and I'll give you a promise. I did that for about 8 years. In 8 years, not one person ever called me, but everyone who I challenged that way came back to me and said, the very day that you prayed with me, God gave me a promise and I've been praying for it. See, that's the way we should pray. It reverses everything. We are not like pagans that God, we have to beg God to hear our prayers. God hears our prayers. God says He answers our prayers. Oh, He may not answer it exactly as you think, but He said, I'm going to give you something better than that, because He's the good Father. He knows how to give good gifts to His children. Listen to this, because Jesus said it, and He said it over and over again in different sermons that He preached. He said, which of you as fathers, if your son asks him for a fish, will you give him a snake? Or he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? Or if he asks for bread, will you give him a stone? If you then are evil and know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit and good gifts to them that ask Him? Jesus is challenging each of us and saying, your Father is loving, your Father is caring. And therefore, when you come to Him, you should come to Him in faith. That brings us to the second way that we come to God. First, the approach to the throne, honesty before God, specificness with God, and boldness before God. But now the appeal. How do we appeal to God? Hebrews chapter 11 says in verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. Let that sink in. Without the exercise of faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that He is. We got that one down. We know that He is. But also that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. See, that's the foundation of prayer. That we believe God's promise. So the three things I want to point out to you. Number one, that when you come to God in prayer, you appeal to Him on the fact that He is able. Do you know that God is able? Jeremiah 32 says, there's nothing impossible with You. Call upon me and I will answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things that you don't know, that you don't know about. See, God is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or think. But most of us think we're happy with the crumbs from His table. We're happy to just get a little bit of answer to prayer. And Jesus says, I want you, my little children. Listen to what He says. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Woo! How would our prayer life change if we had that attitude? If we just lay hold of that promise and say, Lord, You've said it's Your Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. He's saying that in the context of these prayers. The context of knocking and asking, seeking and finding. He's saying it's Your Father's good pleasure to do that. Then believe God. He is able to do this. The second thing we can do in our appeal to God is that we know He is willing. I had an elder one time, as we were talking about prayer and praying for people, he said, Pastor, I don't have any trouble with God being able to answer prayer. I just don't know if He's willing. And I think that's strange, because Jesus, all through the Gospels, affirms to every believer that He loves to answer prayer. He is willing to answer prayer. If you go to God in prayer, if you ask anything in My name, I will do it. And many of our doubting saints will reach into the well of their scriptures and say, oh, but 1 John says, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And therefore, they disqualify everything, because I don't know what the will of God is. Therefore, I can't pray in faith. My friend, Jesus already told you what the will of God is. It's Your Father's good pleasure. to give you the kingdom. See, when you come to God, know that He is willing. He said, I am a giver. I'm a better giver than you are as dads. Now, how many children do we have here this morning? Kids, look up. Do you think your dad would give you a snake as a gift for Christmas? No way! No way! Do you think your dad would give you poison ivy when you ask for something to eat? No way! My dad's not mean! Do you think your dad would give you a rock when you say, could I have some toast for breakfast? No. Jesus said, then why in the world are you treating God like He's a mean father and He doesn't like to give to His children? God loves to give to His children. That's the third thing. He is able, He is willing, and He loves to give. He gives and He gives and He gives again. Doesn't cost anything for God to give to us. Doesn't cost God anything to answer prayer. He's not holding back in a stingy way and saying, oh, if you beg me enough, if you plead enough, I'll give it to you. No, He said, if you just trust me, if you just believe. For without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For you must believe that He is. As I said before, we got that one. We got that down. God is. But we struggle with, is He a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him? God says He is a rewarder of those that seek Him. God loves to give good things to His children. Charles Spurgeon says, in our prayer lives, we need to recognize that God has a storehouse, a treasure room in heaven. And a lot of those treasures have our name on it. And he said, what you need to do in prayer is you come before the Lord with a checkbook of faith and you write out the check of what you need and then submit it to the Father. And he said, but most of us are going to arrive in heaven and God's going to take us to that storeroom. He's going to open the door and we're going to see all these treasures, all these wonderful things. And we say, Lord, I didn't get all this in my life. And the Lord will say, this was your storeroom. Everything that you needed was here. You just didn't ask. You didn't believe. So God wants us to believe that God is able and willing and loves to give good things to those who call for Him. Let me conclude the message with this, and this is for everyone, because there's only three things that can hinder God from answering your prayer. Only three things. And I've tested this out. I've been preaching for 10 years on prayer, and I've tested it out everywhere I go. Three things. Number one, sin. If I regard iniquity in my heart, if I hide my sin and don't confess it, that's going to hinder my prayers. God will not hear me. The second one is selfishness. If what you're asking for is just for selfish indulgence, just because you want pleasure, just because you want something great. If you're asking God for a Lamborghini, you better have a good reason. If it's just for consuming upon your desires, James says, then don't believe that God's going to answer that prayer. Because God doesn't do it just to please us. He does it to glorify His name. So sin gets in the way. Selfishness gets in the way. And the third one is suspicion gets in the way. When you suspect that God doesn't answer prayer or God's not going to answer your prayer, you just disqualified. It's like pulling the rug out from under it. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. You must believe that He is able and willing and bountiful to give whatever you need. Understand that it doesn't cost God anything to give when you pray. And therefore, Jesus said, whatever your concerns, whatever your burdens, roll them on the Lord. Bring it to God in prayer and lay it at His feet. And then don't let go. Just keep asking, keep praying, and look for it this way. Either He's going to give you exactly what you ask, or He's going to give you something better. And I'm amazed at how many times people come to tell me the something better that God gave them. They were requesting one thing and He gave them something even better because they didn't really know how to pray. And God was able to answer that prayer. In your bulletin this morning is a handout. We call it Prayer Helps, and they are promises of God. I think there's about 80 of them here listed. There are many more on my website on www.prayertoday.org. You can pick up 365 promises in card format, and all of them to God's people, that God promises to do those things. He says, before they call, I will answer. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Call upon me, and I will show you great and mighty things that you know not. Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth. Nothing is too hard for you. Jesus said, if any two of you agree as touching any one thing, you shall ask and it shall be done. He didn't say, maybe it'll be done. He said, it will be done. We can go through all of these promises that God has given to you. What are you supposed to do with this? Number one, I want you to take it home. I don't want to find any on the pew. Because the pew can't claim promises. But you can. Take these promises home with you. And then whatever your need is, they're categorized. Whatever your need is, read that to God and say, God, I didn't make this up. You said this. This is your promise to me, your child, and you love to give good things. Therefore, I'm laying hold of this promise. Now, I've given you only a phrase of it. You can look it up and get the whole verse and read it back to God. This is God's inheritance. You're claiming it. You're writing the check of faith and saying, Lord, I need this. I want this. I'm asking you for this. And then keep asking and believing and receiving either what you ask or something better, because God is good to all who call upon Him. We're going to close the message this morning with a little chorus. It's in your hymn book, but I don't think you need the words. Becky's going to play it. The first verse is, God is so good, God is so good, God is so good to me. It's pretty easy, isn't it? And if you believe it, it really helps. God is so good to me. And then the last verse is not written in that script, but I'm making it up. It says, God answers prayer, God answers prayer, God answers prayer for me. So we're going to stand and sing that together. First of all, God is so good, then God answers prayer. Would you stand with me? God is so good, God is so good, God is so good, He's so good to me. God answers prayer. When you go home, I want that to go through your mind all through the week and change that, the wording of that. God answers my prayer. That really makes it personal. Or God answers my prayer. We need to build ourselves up in the most holy faith. That means we take the promises of God at face value as Jesus intended, and we lay hold of those promises and we keep praying and asking God, and God will do great things among us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the God of all mercy and all grace. You are the God that gives and gives and gives again. You are not stingy. You are not selfish. It doesn't hurt you to answer prayer. It doesn't cost you anything to answer prayer. And we didn't invent prayer. You did. And you invited us to come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and find help in a time of need. So teach us to pray, Lord. Teach us to pray as Jesus prayed. Teach us to believe you and not listen to the whispers of suspicion in our hearts, but stand upon the promises of God. I pray for those that are going through some difficult situation and have some prayer requests that perhaps they've asked over and over again, but they really haven't exercised believing prayer. I pray that today, as a believer, as a child of God, they would be emboldened to pray specifically and claim the promise of the Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. And now, may the God of peace be with you all and grant you His mercies and His grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Hope you can stay for dinner. It will be in the fellowship hall right after the service.